to talk. I want, what?
You texted. So.
Yeah, good. So I wanted to talk about what do you do, based on what we learned last week and the week before, combining the two. What do you do about if you have to take a trip? You have to travel, and you got to go to the airport, and you got a morning flight. So you have three options. Okay?
It happens to
everybody. So the question is, do you daven in your house before you go to the airport, even though it's not the lechatchila zman, it's way too early? B, do you daven in the plane sitting down? Option C, if it's possible, do you wait and daven in the city that you're going to get to, if it's going to still be the zman tefillah, and you're going to daven in a minyan standing up like a mensch? So those are the three options. Now each one has a chisar into it. I'm gonna, yeah, avada. If you're thinking about the davening, then you book your flight based on that. Most people, unfortunately, is the opposite. You look for the best thing, and then you fit in the davening into that. So that's the question. Yeah. So you gotta. So
my flight would base sucks on the plane because he fills one suitcase on the goodies. So you know you're okay.
You know you'll be fine. You're not gonna have to just go for the potato.
And you're not gonna be cream, and then there was a delay and they ran out of food and you supplied the whole food on the plane. Pizza, you name it.
You're not gonna have to go for the potato chips and peanuts.
No, we don't do that.
You don't go that route.
Pastrami sandwiches.
I was gonna say, you just said pizza and pastrami sandwiches. I'm starting to get nervous.
No, separate suitcases.
Okay, so these are the questions. Those are the three options. Do you daven in your house before you leave? Do you daven in the airplane sitting down or before the zman? Do you daven in the airplane during the zman? Or if you'll get there in time, should you wait till you get there in time? The chisaron of doing that is because you're going to be during the plane doing stuff and whatever. Is it better to wait until you get to the place and daven standing up? Or do you daven in the airplane sitting down? Or do you daven before the zman? Now, so it's like this. Okay, option number one. If obviously you have time to daven during the zman, it's already morning, your flight's 10 o'clock, and you can daven before you go, obviously you daven in your house or with a minyan before you go, standing up and everything. Our own question is that you're going to have to leave your house before Netz HaChama. You're going to have to leave before the Nates. If you leave before the Nates, what should you do? So we already said last time that if you're traveling and it's a Shasat Chag, then lechatchila you're allowed to daven before the Nates. So here also you could daven before the Nates so that you don't have to daven sitting down later. Okay? Because the halacha of sitting down during davening is not, there's two reasons not to daven on the road. One is you can't concentrate. You sit there all tight and everything. And you're gonna have to sit there in your seat davening, and you can't concentrate. Kol shekein, if you try to daven in the back of the plane and try to, for sure you're not gonna be able to daven like a mensch. So you're gonna daven sitting down in your seat, and so you're gonna be sitting down. And you can't concentrate. So it's always better to avoid davening on the plane. That's the halacha. I'm saying overall. It says in the Shabura this. He's talking about going on a. He's not talking about a plane. Obviously, he's talking about on a wagon, but it's the same idea. Okay, so. I don't know if it is or not. It could be on the wagon. You have more room. Same idea. So he says sitting down during davening is not lechatchila, and therefore it's worth it to daven early, before the zman, to avoid davening sitting down later. Not only that, he says that a bigger chiddush also is that, let's say, and here he brings down a machlokes. This I don't know what people do, but let's say you're going to leave your house mamish right after alos hashachar. So it's before the zman tefillin. It's before the zman tefillin and the zman kriya shma. But theoretically, it's after the zman tefillah. You could still daven, but you can't say shma. So what do you do now? You can't put on tefillin, you can't say kriya shma. But later, by the time it's already that zman, you're going to have to be on the road, you're going to have to go to the airport, to the gate, and everything. So what should you do? So if you do like Jerry said, you could try to get to the gate early and have time to daven in the gate standing up.
12:30.
That's what you could try to do that. So that would be the best Eitzah. But let's say even the gate. Let's say boarding is already before Mishiyakir. Let's say you have a 7 o'clock flight or whatever, and you're not going to have time to put on your tefillin in the gate or anything. So Mishabura Paskins, you should say Shmoneh Esrei without Shema. Just say Shmoneh Esrei. And the rest of that, Brachos and Shmoneh Esrei. And the rest of davening you can do either on the plane, you put on tefillin when you get there, you say Kriyat Shema on the plane, whatever. But the Shmoneh Esrei itself you should say before. What? So even though you're going to give up on the advantage of putting Gal Yisrael together with Shmoneh Esrei, which is Smichas Geula L'Tfila, still he says davening standing up outweighs that Mila. So if you have Shaila, which one to do? Should you say Shema together with Shmoneh Esrei or Shmoneh Esrei standing up? Mishabur says you should say Shmoneh Esrei standing up. So that's the best thing. If you have time to daven in the gate, standing up, that's the best thing. But a lot of times you have the shaila that you're going to have to literally, especially here, that there's certain times in the year it gets really late. If you have a 7 o'clock flight, they're boarding you at 6 whatever, and you can't necessarily put on your tefillin yet. So there the Mishabura says you should daven Shmoneh Esrei and then daven the rest on the plane later. So that's a chiddush. Not everyone does that, but that's what he holds.
If you are able to daven by the gate, you have to worry about the Mishra field getting very destroyed.
It's better to figure out where it is. If you can't, then you don't. But since
have your mind,
right? Towards the shline. But if you could figure out where it is, then it's better. Now, if Lemaisa,
I always thought that as far as diamond, I didn't realize you can say Shmoneh Esrei
separately.
Like that by itself.
Yeah, he says
I it. Thought it was Baruch Shemar Ashrei Yishtabachan.
That's what I'm saying. Usually, that is. Here's the chiddush that since if you do that, you're going to have to daven sitting down. So the advantage of davening standing up outweighs the davening in order. That's the Mishabura's chiddush over here. Now, Lemaisa, I didn't see this in any safer, but I'll take the liberty to say it myself. If you're going to be in the airport, and in order for you to daven Mizrach, you're going to have to face all the people, and then when you're facing the people, you're facing women that are not dressed appropriately. So you're not allowed to daven in front of a woman who's not dressed right appropriately. If there's anything which is erva showing, so you're not allowed to daven. So therefore, I would suggest that it's better to daven facing a wall, even if it's not to the Mizrach, than to daven to the Mizrach, watching everyone passing by there, and you're not Yotzei Tefillah, because, yeah, Mizrach Chafetz Chaim says, by the way, the Chafetz Chaim says is that part of what the Yetzer Hara, the Satan, does is that he knows that he's not going to get us not to daven and say brachas. So what he'll do is he'll put things that are inappropriate and stuff like that in your way, so that disqualifies your tefillah. That's what Chafetz Chaim says. It's one of the anyway, but that's beside the point. But anyway, so yeah, right. So therefore. You should probably, if you can find a quiet corner, it's better to go to the quiet corner, even if it's not Mizrach. Okay, so this is the halacha. Now, by the way, there's an opinion, just to show you how b'dieved it is to daven sitting down, Shmoneh Esrei. There's an opinion in Shulchan Aruch that says that if you daven sitting down, and then you got to the city that you were in, and it's still the Zman Tefillah, you should daven over again, standing up. There's such an opinion, Shulchan Aruch, like that. We don't paskin like that. But Rav Nochum Eisenstein was here. And he said that Rabbi Yashiv used to tell people that you could daven on the plane. But Lemaisa, if by the time you get off the plane and you get to the city, there's still time to daven, you should daven over again. Because davening sitting down is b'dieved. And we know Lemaisa, most people don't paskin like that. But it's maybe you should have in mind maybe an adult or whatever. We don't do that. I'm just pointing out that's why that shows you how you know b'dieved it is. So that's why you should try to avoid davening sitting down as much as possible. So you should either daven before, even if it's not the right zman, or daven after if you have time to get to the city, and not daven sitting up. So I just wanted to go over that because it comes up a lot, these types of shashailas. You know what happens in such a case. Okay. Now, so we talked about the Zman HaTefillah and what you are not allowed to do before davening. By the way, one other thing I didn't discuss last week about what you're allowed to do before davening or not is a shayla, a lot, very very common shayla about going to the gym. I let it go do exercise before davening. So,
totally, Even after davening.
So, listen, some people have, everyone has their own shaila. The Krispy Kreme access, everyone has it. So lamaisa, it depends like this. If you're doing the exercise to make yourself feel good, strong, and you know, you're lifting weights so that you know everything's bulging all over the place and whatever, so then it's also to do that before davening, because you're just taking care of your goof. You're not really having in mind anything beyond that. But if you're doing it for health reasons, so
arthritis and things like that, the better your
So Rav Scheinberg Paskin, that like we said last week, you're allowed to do a mitzvah before davening. Right? Chefte Shemaim, you're allowed to go shopping for Shabbos before davening. Rav Scheinberg, that's all I used to say, the exercise before davening is mutter if you're doing it for that purpose. You're doing it to make yourself stronger, to be able to be healthy and do mitzvahs and everything like that. So then it's mutter. But if you're just doing it to, like, you know, whatever it is, strengthen your body.
How is it that we're not finding the mitzvah? We're not supposed to stop that mitzvah to do another one, right?
But here you didn't start this one yet. You didn't start davening yet.
Right, that's my point. So
no, but here's a different halacha. You're not allowed to be Isaac in a different thing before davening.
At all. But what about learning Torah, for example?
Okay, so learning Torah you're allowed to, because that's a mitzvah.
It's a mitzvah. So it's like, how do you let to stop learning Torah to daven?
Oh, okay. We can discuss that. That's a different question. Yeah, because if you just learn the whole day, you never do any mitzvahs, and then there'll be no point in your learning, because the whole point of learning is to enable you to do it. So it's a contradiction in Eubay. Yeah. By the way, speaking of that, is that someone asked me interesting question. So he said you're allowed to go shopping before Shabbos, because that type of shopping is a mitzvah. Even you're allowed to do it before davening. Someone asked me what happens if he said there's a certain store. Okay, this person is not in the cult. Someone who lives here, a Rebbe, in very high madriga, this person. Anyway, in a lot of things. But anyway, so he asked me that what is he allowed? There's a certain store that he doesn't like to go to because there's a lot of people there that aren't sneezdik. There's a lot of preachers there. He doesn't like going to that store. The only time he finds that he can go to the store and there's no one there and he can go there like a mensch is before davening. It's open early. So he's allowed to go shopping before davening if the reason why he's going then is to avoid bumming, is to avoid seeing people, you know, and being... So it's a mitzvah. He's not doing it for his own convenience. He's doing it for a tzarech of a mitzvah. Probably it's mutter.
You said anyways.
But it's interesting.
For Shabbos.
For Shabbos. Even for Shabbos, I'm saying...
So how's that a
tzarech? It's a tzarech mitzvah because he wants to avoid the preachers.
Seeing what he shouldn't be seeing.
I mean, whatever, not everyone thinks in those terms. It's pretty chashuv, but anyway. It's a shaila. I'm just saying, I would assume that it's a mitzvah. Now, what? Well, yeah, you get something extra for that. Okay, so let's go back now to the beginning of the day. So we discussed what you are and a lot to do before davening. So now let's go to the Seder Ayoyim. The first thing that I'm not going to spend too much time on this, just to cover whatever's going to get to tefillah. But the first thing is that a person washes their hands. They do Netilas Yadayim. So the shaila is, when do you make the bracha of Al Netilas Yadayim? There's a big tumult in the poiskim. When do you make the bracha of Al Netilas Yadayim? Do you make it when you wash your hands right away? Or do you do it when you get to shul?
You forget right away because you're all like...
No?
Time to get to shul, you remember?
Well, there's no wrong answer. Right.
So that's the first thing.
Right.
Would that count? Well, obviously,
well, yeah.
You can't make a bracha there, but that would count.
Yeah, it counts. Now the question is, you can't make the bracha yet, you have to go to the bathroom. So you go to the bathroom. So when do you make the bracha of Al Netilas Yadayim? Then, right after you go to the bathroom, or you wait, you get dressed, you do what you gotta do, and then you come to shul, and then you say all the brachas together, including Al Netilas Yadayim. Or do you say Al Netilas Yadayim at home, right after you wash? So either way, so there's no wrong answer. But I'm just curious, what does most people do?
We'll get, you can see them all day, do it right away. They're very much.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
I don't know how we
do it when you come to show with all the other brothers.
So, all of us. So, what? Okay, so it's interesting. So, here's the story. The Etzem Netila Sedaim, there's a big machloikas, why do we do it? What's the pshat of Negavasar and this whole idea? What's the pshat? Why wash your hands all of a sudden in the morning? So, there's a couple pshatim in the Rishonim. One basic pshat is, because during the night you probably touched parts of the guf that are mechayev you to wash your hands, and you're going to go daven. So before davening, you got to wash your hands and make sure you're clean. That's one pshat. The other pshat is a more esoteric pshat, is that there's ruach ra, there's like these evil spirits that hang around by night, and they land on your hands when you go to sleep. And therefore, you wash it to get rid of this. Okay? Or similar, the Rashba says, is that you wake up in the morning, is that you're a new person, so it's like, since you're new, you gotta wash and dedicate yourself to Avodas Hashem. By the way, on this other pshat, speaking of esoteric, so the Vilna Gaon said, I have no idea what this means, but this is brought down from the Vilna Gaon, up your alley over here. The Vilna Gaon said, you know the story of the Ger Tzedek of Vilna? Avram ben Avram, the Ger Tzedek, the famous Ger, he became a Ger in the time of the Vilna Gaon, and then he was killed, and he was Moser Nefesh. They wanted him back, he was a religious guy, and they wanted him back, the Gaon wanted him back, and he gave up his life for Yiddishkeit. He was a big, big Madrega, he was the Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. He was killed on Shavuos. All these Shivas, they talk about him on Shavuos. This is the meaning. But anyway, so the Vilna Gaon said that when he died, when they killed him, the evil spirit that rests on your hands at night that you do negavasa for left this world. So I'm not, take it or leave it, but I'm not taking it or leave it, but I have nothing to add beyond that. But anyway, Lemaisa, there's all these reasons why wash negavasa. No, because there's still the other reasons, right? So now, I'll give you an example. There's a lot of nafkaminas, why you wash. For example, let's say a person went to sleep at night, and they said here, like, let's say they were wearing gloves. So according to the Rush, he doesn't have to wash his hands because he didn't touch anything. But according to the other pshat, he still has to. Or the other way around, let's say you're up all night. If you're up all night, so the evil spirit could get on your hands, but you didn't touch anything. So there's different things. The bottom line is that we don't know. We gotta do something that you fulfill all the opinions, because there's a lot of different opinions. So therefore, Mishnah Berurah says, for sure, if you're gonna, you could do it right away in the morning. You wash negavasar and you say a bracha. You could do that. The other way to do it is provided that you're gonna daven right away. A lot of times, though, people don't daven right away after they wash. So what you could do is that what he says is you come to shul, you wash your hands again or in shul or whatever, and then you say all the brachas ala seder, like you're saying with the other brachas, you're also good. But you shouldn't just say it like out of nowhere. You should say it with all the other brachas in shul, or you could say it right away in the morning, but provided that you're gonna go straight to shul. Okay? But that's the brachas. Now, the Al Netzias Adayim. Legabi Birkas HaShachar, I was thinking about the Inyan of Birkas HaShachar. You know, there's an interesting, in Shulchan Aruch is brought down, the real, all the brachas that we make are for all these different things that happen during the day. Right? Is there a sitter over here? Anyway. There should be, right? somewhere in the room. So when you go through the Birkas HaShachar, the each one of these is thanking Hashem for something different that happened. Like let's say Pukeachivism, when you open your eyes. Mal B'Sharumim is when you get dressed. So the Shulchan Aruch says that when you get dressed, you make the bracha Mal B'Sharumim. When you open your eyes, you make the bracha Pekeachivim. You don't just say it all at once in shul, like a ceremony. It's just like eating, right? Before you eat, you don't say, but at the beginning of the day, okay, Shakal Ne'Bedvari, Bar Pri Adama, Bar Pri Eitz, and then eat the rest of the day, right? It's as you're getting the benefit, you make the bracha. So these brachas are really the same. It really, the idea of these brachas is that as they happen to you, you make the bracha. But Okay, you're right. Okay, these three are just a general shvach, yeah. But these are all what, as you go. So it's important. So Maisa, we don't do that. The Ramah says we don't do that, and we just make them all because it's not talking specifically about your hana. It's talking about that Hashem gave this hana in general. But just realize there's a certain. This is really thanking Hashem for all these general things. So I just wanted to pick on one, just to bring out the point, because I was just looking into it lately. It's very interesting. The bracha, the first bracha that we say is Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Nasan Lasech Vivina Lahavchin Bein Yom Ubein Laila. Which there's two definitions to it, but one of them means is that you gave a chicken or the rooster, the bina, to know the difference between day and night, so what does it do?
Crows.
Right at the beginning of Olos HaShachar to tell everyone that's the day. And so what's going on over here? What's the point of this bracha? This is you start off your day that there's a thanks Hashem that there's a chicken out there that knows what the day is.
Thank Hashem for the alarm clock.
So we're thanking Hashem. Really, the point is that. He put in the Bria an ability for us to realize the difference between day and night. So here I saw Rav Schwab brings from Rav Shimshon Pinkus, from Rav Shimshon Fall Hirsch, very interesting question. So if the idea is that we have the ability to distinguish between day and night, why don't we make this bracha at night, at the end of the day when it's becoming night?
Same thing.
Because you know the difference between night to day.
That's how it was, and they said, why don't we make it at night?
So he says a beautiful pshat over here, just to explain like what's the idea of the bracha. He says, it's not just, why do I care that, okay, I have the ability to distinguish between day and night. What's the deeper meaning in the bracha? Because the day is the time that we have the ability to do stuff. The day is when we're given the ability to go ahead and accomplish. So we're thanking Hashem for the ability, the drive that we have to do something with the day, to be productive with the day. That's really the point of the bracha. If you have a person says about, you know, Loya Lena, there's a guy that's depressed, in a deep depression. So what do you say? He was so depressed he couldn't even get out of bed in the morning. He has nothing to get out of bed for. Right? Someone that doesn't have anything to live for, that doesn't have a drive to accomplish anything, so by them there's no difference between day and night. They sleep the whole day also, because there's nothing for them to do. So Hashem gave us a drive to accomplish, right? And we know that we have a goal, and we know we have things to do. It's the day. Let's go. You got stuff to do today. That's why you don't make this at night. The night is starting. The night is not when you accomplish the stuff. The stuff is when you're doing during the day. So Mel, that's the point of the bracha. Is that okay? The day. I know that it's my day. It's the day now, and now I have a goal. I have something to do. So he says, beautiful. He says that's why. All of a sudden, in the middle of the brachas, you start saying Shlosh Ani Goy. Exactly. Why say Shlosh Ani Goy here? You're talking about Hashem gave me clothes, Hashem gave me ability to see. What does it do with not being a Goy? This is because that's the whole idea. What we're thanking Hashem for is our mission. And that we have the ability to, we know our mission and we can accomplish it. So Mamela, that's the brach. We say it's the daytime. You gave me the ability to know it's day. And you didn't make me a guy that I can, you gave me a mission that I can accomplish. That's the idea. And each one of these things is that mission. I remember my Rebbe one time, he was very upset. We in yeshiva in high school when we were growing up, so right next to yeshiva, the yeshiva didn't have a place to play ball. So there was a park next door, and everyone would go to the park to play ball. Now the problem was that it wasn't the yeshiva, so there was a lot of non-Jews there also, let's just put it nicely, that hanging out there and also wanted to play. So, you know, it was an interesting game. But there was a lot of stuff there that you didn't want to necessarily learn from, you know, hanging out, playing ball with these guys. You know, first of all, they're much better than you. Second of all, well, that you may want to learn, right. But second of all, some of the, you know, everything else that comes along with it, it wasn't necessarily, our Rebbe didn't really want us to pick up some stuff from the street. So I remember his drasha then when he gave it. So he said, you don't want to see how these guys act when they play ball. You don't want to, although, if you do, you may have more kavanah in the next morning when you say Shalom Sani Goy. That's, it could give you some extra kavana, but you don't want to see too much about what they do when they're down there playing ball. But the truth is, it's not just about, and, you know, according to this, it's a lot more than that. It's that we have a mission, we have a goal, we're supposed to do something. Okay, so Lemaisa, as the
definition is heart, right?
Yeah, the other definition is lasechvi means the heart. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the ability to, either way, it's the same idea. Either way, it's ultimately the same point. Okay, now here's a common shaila.
Accomplished like a Jew, do mitzvahs.
Yeah, exactly. Now, here's a common shaila. What if a person is late to shul? If a person is late, okay, so they have a choice. They could either, now we're going to get into detail, but basically the idea of halacha is that if you're going to miss tefillah b'tzibur, if by the time the tzibur starts Shmoneh Esrei, you're going to miss it, so you'll have to skip certain parts of Pesukah d'Zimra to make sure you daven Shmoneh Esrei with the tzibur. Now what happens if you get to shul late? Should you skip Brikas HaShachar and say the whole Pesukah d'Zimra and say Brikas HaShachar after davening? Or should you say Brikas HaShachar and skip parts of Pesukah d'Zimra?
So I think you have to do those main points first. Otherwise, you can't just pick and choose. Like what we said before, the Baruch Shamar, Ashrei, you skip Hodu and all that,
right?
And you can go. You skip the.
Well, let's say you could say the whole thing, Baruch Shamar, three Shtavach straight. But to do that, you're gonna have to skip brachas.
I understand. Why is it so short?
Why is it so short? What? This could take time.
Versus the whole Pesukah d'Zimra.
Not the whole Pesukah d'Zimra. I'm just saying, what should you rather skip? Parts of Pesukah d'Zimra or Brikas HaShachar?
Neither.
Get it there on time.
Parts of Pesukah d'Zimra.
What?
It could be mashlimit after the tefillah.
What? Pesukah d'Zimra? You could also say brachas after davening. Are you allowed, kids in the shaila, are you allowed to say these brachas after davening? Or it's only to say before davening?
I just said yes.
What if you finish davening?
This part of Brikas HaTorah.
So, okay, Brikas HaTorah, if you didn't daven yet, if you after davening, it's a whole shiloh if you say Brikas HaTorah. If you didn't say it, Avarab, we'll get to that maybe. But I'm talking about Brikas HaShachar. What's the halacha? Okay, so the halacha is that these brachas, you could say after davening. So means if you come late and you just get your tefillin on, you say Baruch Shama, Ashrei, Yishtabach, you know, the rest, till then after davening, you're allowed to say Brikas HaShachar. But you'll have to, it's not, you knew there was a, first of all, you can't say Elokai Neshama after, it's interesting, you're not allowed to say Elokai Neshama after davening. If you didn't say Elokai Neshama before, you're not allowed to say Elokai Neshama after davening. Why not? Because you already said Baruch Hashem Mechaya Mason. So even though Mechaya Mason is not referring to you, it's referring to eventually, but you're also Mechaya Mason. So therefore, you're Mechaya Mason, and once you said that, you don't say Elokai Neshama anymore. It's interesting.
That's got nothing to do with why some people say Elokai Neshama earlier than later.
Correct. Because you want to, here. So he says, oh, here. Okay, so you could say it after davening, except for the last bracha. You don't say Amav Rishena after davening. Okay, but you could say these after davening. But Lemaisa, it's better to say it in order, not to skip this. Lemaisa, what happens if you remember in the middle of Pesukah d'Zimra that you didn't say brachas? Are you allowed to say it in the middle of Pesukah d'Zimra? Are you allowed to? You're in the middle of Pesukah d'Zimra. You're holding here, Ashrei, and you realize, hey, I didn't say all these brachas. So can you say brachas in the middle of Ashrei, in the middle of Pesukah d'Zimra?
I think you can.
You think you can?
It's not
It's a hefsek.
What's the hefsek? It's
in middle of what?
You were a bad boy when you were young. You were laughing.
He's recalling all these things.
Yeah, you could see. Remember too clearly sometimes. So Lemaisa, it's interesting. He says over here, the Chaim Kanievsky said you should not stop in the middle of Pesukah Dezimmer to say brachas, but after Yishtabach you should, before you start brachas. Interesting halacha. Another important halacha about brachas is if you got it out of order, because sometimes what happens is you try to say it by heart and you get it all out of order. So you could say them out of order, except there's always a but. There's always some exceptions, right? Anything which includes the bracha before it, if you already said the latter one, you can't say the previous one. So for example, let's say out of order you said Shalei Asani Isha before you said Shalei Asani Goy. So once you thank Hashem you're not an Isha, you don't have to thank Hashem anymore you're not a Goy. It's included in that. It's because the whole point, Shalei Asani Goy means a Goy is not obligated in a lot of mitzvahs. And then you say Shalei Asani Eved, even though an Eved is obligated in mitzvahs, but not as many. And then even though an Isha is obligated in more mitzvahs than an Eved, but still, I have even more mitzvahs. That's the idea. So if you already said Shalei Asani Isha, then incorporated in that is you're also thankful that you're not a Goy.
So this one wouldn't apply.
So therefore, once you said Shalei Asani Isha out of order, you can't go back to Shalei Asani Goy anymore.
You could go back to Rokeh.
Correct. These are unrelated. Okay? So
that's the only time we...
Yeah, these don't go back. And then there's a confusion over here a little bit, but basically...
What's the idea when people go up to somebody else and say the bracha, so they say amen afterwards? Have you seen this?
Randomly?
I've seen
they stayed up all night.
Because sometimes they stay up all night.
No, just during the week, I've seen people, maybe it's a Hasidish minute, I've seen people, particularly in Hasidim, that will go up to other people and say it so somebody else can answer amen.
They want to
have someone amen.
Of saying amen.
Right, or having someone
say
it. It was a very interesting thing. When we were in Lakewood, so they had a video, a live satellite, that they had questions and answers with the Chaim Kanievsky from his house. It was like 11 o'clock in Lakewood time. So no, it was earlier. It was like 9:30. It was like 4:30 in the morning, Eretz Yisrael time. And he was up already. So they had him. They had a whole thing, and there was satellite direct live hookup to Lakewood, asking him certain questions. Okay, they asked him certain questions. So it was different things. One thing that they asked him was. It was some things about chinuch. So, it was questions. A lot of them weren't so nice. Like to ask the Gadol HaDor, you know, like if he ever got hit by his father when he was a kid. Did his father patch? Basically, the stipler. Did he patch when he was a kid?
That's in a different way. Why can you ask? Is it okay to patch your kid?
He wanted to know if his father did. So he said, I don't know if he said he did or didn't, but he said if he would have, it would only have been for one thing. That he said the only thing that my father would punish us for would be for not saying the truth. For not saying the MS. That's the only thing that we ever got punished for. Everything else, patched for. Obviously, you know. But anyway, so... After the questions, Reb Chaim was getting ready for davening.
Did he still do it?
What?
Did he still do it? Yeah.
It was a one-time thing. It was a one-time thing. It was very interesting. So
that was great.
Yeah, it was, right? So they, especially because his brother-in-law was asking the questions. His brother-in-law is Yitzchak Zilberstein, who's married, who's also son-in-law of the Ash, and he's a very funny person. So he was asking funny questions. Anyway, so he afterwards, after the questions, they continued videoing him as he was getting ready for davening. So it was very interesting because what happened was he went over to his rebbetzin, Alei Hashalom. He went over to his rebbetzin, and. He didn't even realize that this video is there. Like he went over to his rebbetzin and he started saying Birkas HaShachar. He called her over for her to say Amen to all of his Birkas HaShachar. And then she said Birkas HaShachar so he could say Amen to all of her brachas.
Wow.
It was very chashuv, no? It was an amazing thing. So he would take out his time. Now you're not talking about someone who like, you know, okay, an extra 3-4 minutes. Extra 3-4 minutes by him is already like, you know, half a mesechta, you know. So every morning, he would, and this is before Nate, so she's already up then, you know. So every morning before Nate, they would stand there together. He would say brachas, and she would say amen, and she would say brachas, and he would say amen. So they would both have the advantage of saying amen, of having someone say amen to your bracha. So anyway, so there is something to that. There is something to that. Now, Lemaisa, this that we say brachas out loud, really, that's just to keep the meaning going. But really, the point, you really, no one's supposed to be yotze with that. You're supposed to say your own brachas, obviously. Now, what happens? What? If you hear it, that's something else. If you hear it, can you answer?
Yeah.
Yeah, most things you could. You shouldn't say Baruch Hashem. We could say Amen. We will see.
You really have restrictions in between Yishtava, if you're between Yishtavach and Shema Nesra.
Yeah, that for sure. And beforehand, by Pesukah Dezimra, you're not supposed to stam talk, but you could say Baruch Hashem and Amen. So, we will get to that. Now, oh, one thing is like this. Let's say there's a big shaila. If one of these things is not nogea to you, one of these things didn't happen to you that morning. So, for example, one of the brachas that we say is you say malbish arumim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me clothes, fresh clothes to wear today. So let's say the shaila is the place can talk about. Let's say you fell asleep in your clothing, so you're wearing the same clothes as yesterday. So you didn't get dressed today. That doesn't mean anything, right? Because you have clothes, right? Who cares if it's the same as yesterday's clothes?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
You got
it. Nice, so you have clothing, right? Or let's say...
I just thought I was telling my...
Zokif Kifu...
A libush for your nisham.
Oh, yeah?
That what?
Yes, a libush for your nisham.
It could be that, but let's say Zokef Kefufim. Zokef Kefufim, the Gemara says, is talking about that you can, Zokef, he raises up people from, you know, Zokef Kefufim from bed. Let's say you can't get out of bed that morning. You're in the hospital. So you're going to be davening lying down. So do you say Zokef Kefufim? You're awake. You're awake.
Yeah.
But you're not Zokef Kefufim, maybe.
General Bracha, Rama would say it.
So they tend to say it depends on that. Means that it depends. According to the Shulchan Aruch, which is the minhag of the Sfarad, I don't know if they still do that. But according to the strict minhag of the Shulchan Aruch, that means that you only make the bracha as it's happening to you. If it didn't happen to you, you don't make it. But according to our minhag, that you say it in order, so it has nothing to do with that it happened to you. So even if it didn't happen to you, you would still go ahead and make the bracha. So that means, so.
What's interesting about that is Shelo Asani Goy is a personal bracha. But over here, Zokef Kefufim is like you're saying. It's
well, what's it going to say?
What
he didn't make anyone goyim. He made some people goyim. It can't be for everybody. This bracha has to be personal because you can't say he gave everyone that they not goyim.
Shelo Asai Am Yisrael Goyim.
Obviously, but you're happy that you're not. You're not happy that there is an Am Yisrael. You're happy that you're part of it. No, this is that. So, okay, I'll ask you that. So here we say Pokeach Ivrim is that you could see. So does a blind person make Pokeach Ivrim? Pokeach Ivrim means you could see.
Right.
It's a blind. So the answer is according to Ashkenazim, he does. According to Sephardim, maybe not. Because the Sephardim, you have to have had the...
How does that make a difference?
Because the Sephardim, they hold that you only make the bracha when it happens. It didn't happen yet. But according to us, yeah. Or let's say Malbish Arumim. Okay, that we're saying you have. Matir Asurim means that you could get out of bed. Zokef Kefufim, you could stand up tall. Roika Ha'aretz Alamayim, you could take steps. Let's say a person can't walk. Sha'asa li kol tzarki is you have shoes. So let's say you don't have shoes.
Tishah
B'av Yom Kippur, you're not wearing shoes. Or you don't have shoes. You're walking around barefoot. Do you say Sha'asa li kol tzarki? So as a matter of fact, it's machlokes. But again, we paskin that since we go in order, you say it no matter what. Now here's an interesting ha'ara. Then it says, Oizer Yisrael b'gvura. And Oiter Yisrael b'sefara. What do those brachas mean? It means that he girded us. You know, like, gives us a belt. And Oiter Yisrael b'sefara means a hat. What do you give you a haircut, a head covering? So Shaila is, why all of a sudden here do you say Yisrael? Yisrael, Oiter Yisrael. The other ones, you don't say Pokech Yisrael, Pokech Ivre Yisrael.
Pokech. Referring to a
gazdel and a yawas. So Mishabura says, Oizer Yisrael B'gvura is the belt, is referring to clothes, tznias de clothing, And that's that we have the Klai Yisrael has the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Klai Yisrael the mitzvah and the opportunity to dress mitznias, but it's dafka to Klai Yisrael. And Oyter Yisrael b'sifar also is that Klai Yisrael wears the head covering. It's a certain tznias. But that's taka only limited to that's only limited to Klai Yisrael. That's not for everyone. Right? So the other ones are general. Generally speaking, Hashem gave this to the whole Bria. But this thing, that's specifically for Klal Yisrael. These two brachas. But anyway, I was telling someone else, I was telling you others, that a lot of times a person, we discussed this in the first week, but a lot of times a person, you know, okay, we're gonna try to have kavana lately on davening. But the problem is that your middle shred, by the time you remember that you were supposed to have kavana, you finished already. Right? Or you're halfway in the middle. If a person also, what's gonna happen? Okay, today I'm really gonna ask Hashem to make me rich. It's not nice. The only thing you have kavana about is that, you know, I don't have kavana about anything, but I'm gonna ask Hashem today. Today I'm gonna have a lot of kavana when I ask Hashem to make me rich. It's not nice. What about everything else? You never come on the whole Pesukim de Zimra when you're being Meshabeach Hashem for everything He does. It's not nice. So the only time you're really thinking about it is all of a sudden it comes the brachas that have to do with you. Right? Then all of a sudden now you start having kavana. So I think a good suggestion is that the brachas of Shachar, a person could take out an extra minute to think about the brachas. It's a very good eitzah because it's at the beginning of the day. You didn't get caught up with anything yet. It's the first thing you say. So you're not already caught up in everything. And you're not thinking about what you're asking Hashem for. You're thinking about what Hashem gave you already. Hashem already gave you these things, and you're thanking Hashem for them. It's a very nice opportunity to be able to be mechazik in your tefillah, mechazik in your kavanah for that, because you're taking the opportunity to have a kar satov. So anyway, that's the Indian of the bracha. So we'll continue to Pesukim de Zimra and Shema.